Amen. Amen, everybody. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle, those who are in the sanctuary. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle, those who are on Facebook and those who are on YouTube. Amen. Amen. Is this the Lord's Day? Amen. Amen. We had a week full of all kinds of storms and all that stuff carrying on. But what? We're here. Amen. Amen. Which gives us an opportunity to say thank you, O Lord. Amen. 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 Welcome everybody who comes in the door. Lord, watch over those who are on the way. Welcome. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle, where our pastor is who? Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. 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 Even at home, let us feel charged this morning. I'm going to lead us in prayer, but one thing I want to cover, because we covered it with the teens today. We have spent the past month and a half on one scripture. It just says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran to him and worshiped him. All right? It's in Mark 5:6. When he saw Jesus throughout all the stuff that was going on in his life, he ran to Jesus and worshiped him. And we have the opportunity to do that this morning. Amen? Can we all stand? Thank you, O Lord, that we can see you afar off. That despite all the storms that are going on in our homes, all the turmoil that can happen on the job, all the craziness and violence that goes on in the streets, all the sickness that's being battled in the hospitals, Lord, we can see you afar off through all that. Hallelujah! And we know that you are in control. Thank you, O Lord. Because as we look at all the stuff that you've taken us through, all that you have brought us through, all those times when it could have been it, when that could have fallen on us, when that car could have hit us, when we could have slipped and fell, when we were around somebody could have had a sickness, you watched over us. When that fight was going on over there, you kept us safe. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. You provided for us. Hallelujah. You've kept us every day. Hallelujah. You blessed us with families. Hallelujah. You blessed us with homes. Hallelujah. You've always blessed us with a way to make it through the day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are here this day to worship you and to hear your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You said in your word, hallelujah, that with two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be in the midst. Hallelujah. Oh, come sit next to us this morning, oh Lord. Talk to us. Hallelujah. Let us feel the warmth of your presence sitting right next to us. Hallelujah. But Lord, when we're in your presence, all that stuff that's going on don't matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Earthly, fleshly distractions don't matter. Hallelujah. Help us to always see you, O Lord, in the midst of whatever. In the midst of whatever, that we see you, Christ Jesus, and that we trust in you, Christ Jesus. Lord, bless us with your word this morning. Anoint the vocal cords and the tongue of our speaker, our pastor. Lord, give us a word that edifies us and is written on the fleshy tables of our hearts. Give us a word that sustains us. And give us a word that we could give to one another for salvation and for encouragement. That you would get the glory and honor out of our lives. That we would be living epistles read among men. We thank you, Christ Jesus. You are welcome in this morning. To come sit right here next to us, oh Lord. Hallelujah. That we would enjoy your presence. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen and amen. I ask that you remain standing. I'm going to read our scripture for this morning. And after our scripture, I believe I see our sister Leah. I will call her up. Does anyone need to come in? Everybody's in. Amen. I'm going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Amen. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV version. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen. Fight what? The good fight. Amen. Amen. That means what? Worship at all times. That no matter what we get tested with. Hallelujah. Lord is in control. Amen. With that, I'm going to give way for our sermonic selection. Amen. We're going to have Sister Leah come up, and she going to S-A-N-G for us. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give glory and honor to God for who He is and for all that He has done. And we know that we want to, whatever that we do, we want to do it unto the Lord. Whatever work that He has for us to do, that He may be glorified in all that we say and do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll cross the hottest desert. I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to see you. My King, for your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. Oh, Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll cross the hottest desert, no matter near or far, for your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything. my King. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. Oh, I wanna be where you are. Oh, I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are for your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I wanna be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. I gotta be where you are. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. And love is who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you believe the words of that song, he said, with two or three together, gathered in my name, I am in the midst. You want to be where he is? Right here! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Glory! Hallelujah! He's right here in the midst. Hallelujah! If you praise his name, hallelujah! Be gathered in his name! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. If we can all stand and welcome our pastor. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, thank God. If you have your Bibles this Sunday morning, I'm going to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Going to look at the 9th verse. In the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, begin at verse 9 and go down to its conclusion. If you're there, you're going to find these words. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. It's the whole job of the preacher. Find acceptable words. That's why we depend on God's word, right? But the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable, right? That's why I find acceptable words. And what was written was upright, and words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads. The words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished of these. Making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Lord, we thank you for this, another Lord's Sunday morning. Thank you that we are gathered here in this place that bears your name, that we are gathered around the book that contains your words, words that are life and life-giving. So give us ears to hear, give us eyes that we may see, and above all, give us hearts that we might obey the words contained in your book. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church.
Yesterday was a difficult day for me, in large part because I attended a funeral of a friend. And I guess on the surface, we kind of know and understand, well, that's one, a part of life. And even more so in the life of a pastor. That's what we do. We christenings, weddings, and funerals. That's the bookend to pastoral ministry. That's what you do. But this particular funeral was difficult because of the manner in which they passed. Difficult because this person took their own life. And so it was difficult for everybody in attendance. What do you say? What do you do when that occurs? And while not a subject that is often handled out of the pulpit, I wanted to use my time, our time together, to talk about suicide and self-harm, because it is affecting the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not immune. We're not immune. We're not immune. That in and of itself could be noteworthy for some here, to believe that we are somehow immune, but we're not. And I don't want to preach or teach or anything like that. I just want to say really three things on that subject. The first being, to anyone, whether you're here this Sunday, here in the sanctuary, whether you are viewing or streaming online, and these thoughts have been entertained by you and or others whom you might know. First, I just want to say that you are not alone. Oftentimes, those of us who contemplate self-harm or taking our own lives, the research has said that they oftentimes have reached a place of despair and feel alone. You'd be surprised how lonely life can be in a room full of people. Room full of people on Sunday at church. A job full of people at work. Family gatherings that fill room, and just people and people. Yet in the midst of all of that, we can feel alone and isolated. And so the one thing I want to say and wish to be heard is that we are not alone. You are not alone. I'm going to encourage you to read the Word of God. In so doing, you will find there are countless people in the Bible who felt all alone. Right? Even Christ felt all alone. Happens to the best of us. You follow what I'm saying? And oftentimes, I believe the enemy will use that. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, he'll use that feeling of loneliness and isolation to drive a wedge between you and God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to drive that wedge. And that's what he'll use. He'll use loneliness, feelings of despair, and try to separate you from the love of God. Read your Bible. I don't think you can read a book in the Bible and not find a person all alone, feeling that way, the end of their rope, despair. But the joy we have in reading the Word of God is that time and time again we find what? God was what? Always there. He's always there. He's waiting for an opportunity to reveal himself to you, to me, in our most despairing moments. You're not alone. You're not alone because it's not just that God is there, but God offers both hope and help. You find yourself in a desperate situation, in a situation of despair. First and foremost, you need help. You need help. And then even after receiving help, this is where a lot, unfortunately, where we lose a lot of folks is not only after receiving hope, after receiving help, you need to receive hope. You follow me? Help is to aid you in your moment of crisis, to revive and stabilize you. But if you don't have hope, you will quickly fall back into desperation and despair. Help will get you up. Help will get you out. But you need to have hope, right? So that you can have something to what? Look and live for. If not, you'll fall back, right? And those thoughts of self-harm and suicide return. Once again, the enemy pushes in a wedge between you and God. So, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all your care upon him for he cares for you. That's help. Oftentimes, the despair and desperation is because in our isolation and in our alonement, we feel as if no one cares about me. Whether true or not, it's what we feel. It's what we believe. Again, this is why I believe the Word of God is so wonderful, because it tells us in plain language that God cares for me. He loves. Not only cares for me, he cares about me, and the proof is in the initial part of that statement, because he says, cast all your cares on me. Trouble isn't as bad when you have someone to share it with. You ever realize that? Trouble's not as bad. The Bible said when two walk together, it's better than walking alone, right? You get a better reward when you walk with someone else. The Bible says what? Lest you fall and you have someone what? There to what? Pick you up. But when you are alone and in despair and in desperation and fall, this is why we spiral out of control. Why? Because there's no one there to pick us up. No one's there to reaffirm us of their care for us and what we're dealing with. Verse 8 says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking. Again, he's looking to drive that wedge. This is the Word of God telling you. It's the same thing. You got to know that God cares for you. But as much as God cares for you, so does your enemy so despise you that he's looking for any opportunity in your life to drive a wedge and cause you to feel that you are alone and nobody cares. Opening the door for thoughts and images of self-harm, and in some cases, even suicide. So I admonish you, as the preacher said, be vigilant. Be sober. You know what I like about that sober? When I hear that term, what it causes me to think? Be sober, because it can happen to any of us. I told you where I was yesterday. The thing that was so hard about it was this person, if you were to have known him in his life, there's one statement you can make and everybody would agree. No matter where he was and what he was always the life of the party. This guy never had a bad day. If he did, I never knew about it. I mean, just, he just, So for his life to end this way, it doesn't make sense. But in light of the word of God, it does, because what? It can happen. So the preacher says, be sober. Don't ever assume it cannot be you. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Anybody know what that means? Again, you're not alone. And just not alone, meaning not alone, but not alone in what you are experiencing. Again, the enemy wants to bring that wedge between you and God to make you feel alone, that no one cares, and no one can care, because no one knows what I'm the wedge goes deeper, separates you even further, causing you to feel what? More alone and isolated, and fall deeper in despair and desperation, and open the door wider to feelings, thoughts, and ideals of self-harm and suicide. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's the help we need. Told you to get out of it. You need two things. You need help and you need hope. This is the help that the God who cares for you says, let's make an exchange. Give to me what you can't handle because you don't have the strength or capacity to handle it. So give it to me. And in exchange, I'll give you my strength. Are you with me? Let's make the exchange. And I'm willing to do it. Why? Because God cares. About you. And he's just waiting for a moment. An opportunity. For him to be able to show you. That he's there and his arms are wide open. Right? I told you point number one, you're not alone. The Bible tells us that these afflictions are common to man. Nobody in here is experiencing something that no one else has experienced. God has seen it all. You may not have. I may not have, but God, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. This is in the book. This is why I'm encouraging you. Read your Bible. The Word of God says this. There is nothing new. It simply means God's seen it all. So you're not going to scare. Your problem is not going to scare God. Part of the isolation and the alonement is the shame or the guilt we feel in telling someone that I'm having these thoughts, these ideas. Why? Because we believe they can't handle it. They don't know anyone who's ever done this, thought this, been here, been in this situation. But again, he gives us both help and hope. The help is that after, during, while, he will what? He'll perfect. And the perfect obviously is not him, it's us. Right? God's, he'll perfect, he'll establish, get your feet back on solid ground, and strengthen, that's the exchange. I'm going to give you my strength. You give me your problems, because you don't have the strength. I'll exchange with you and give you my strength. So look at how we make out. We not only offload or unburden ourselves by what? Casting our cares. So we're lighter. But then we also receive supernatural power. That's the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's what that is. That strength. And that strength enables the believers while suffering to settle. Lord, place my feet on solid ground. I can stand, can endure, I can withstand. Why? Because my burden is lighter. Because I gave it to him because he told me he cared. I'm better because now I possess his strength. By his strength, God has settled me down. So now, instead of thoughts of self-harm or suicide, I read my word, the word of God. I now have thoughts and images of strength and stability. And the hope we have is Christ Jesus himself. Who himself was what? Who himself had to battle with similar thoughts, right? Being alone. Is it worth it? What's the use of getting up tomorrow? He had similar thoughts. The word of God is our witness. The word of God said, Jesus said, Father, why have you of all people so he knows what it's like to be us. That's why the Hebrew writer says, our high priest is different. Because he can be touched by the feeling of our, why? Because he knows what it's like to be you. So Christ himself gives us hope. Why? Because the record shows us what God did for him. In his moments of isolation, his moments of despair and desperation, God lifted him up. And he put on display the strength and power of God himself. Put it on display for all the world to see. He not only lifted his son up, he settled and established him. And then lifted him higher on the day of ascension. I'm here to tell you that in like manner, God will do the same for you. So you're not in an impossible situation. You're not on the road that has no return. This is God's word out of the witness in the Old Testament. He says these words. He says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's in your Bible. No matter what translation you have or prefer, you read it. It's what he told the old patriarch. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And in our moments of despair and desperation and isolation, when thoughts of self-harm and suicide creep into our mind and into our dreams and into our thought life, you need to be reminded of those words. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Again, the exchange. That's what he's talking about. Give it to him. And in exchange, he'll give you his strength. So that you can find rest. One of the things about isolation, loneliness, despair, is that it creates a place of unrest in a person's life. I believe one of the most difficult things to be in life is being tired. You just can't do nothing when you're tired. can't think straight. You can't, it just, and sometimes it's just good. Yeah, just go home and go to bed. I used to tell folks, watching my dad growing up, he was a mechanic by trade, and we'd get in the shop and he'd get a car that just wouldn't work right, wouldn't do right. He couldn't fix it, couldn't get it done. The people calling, when are my cars going to be ready? And I just watch him on some days, he would just shut the shop down. My dad always worked a full day and usually extra, but he would just shut the shop down, go home, spend time in the garden. That's where he relaxed his mind, and he'd just, what, go to bed. Talking about 5:30, 6 o'clock, he'd be in the bed. And after a good night's rest, and you just get up in the morning and you feel refreshed, you look refreshed, and then all of a sudden the problems of yesterday don't seem so overwhelming. And oftentimes with this going into this hole of despair, what happens is people, they don't find a place of rest. So they're on all the time. One of the worst things you can ever be. God never created us to be on all the, we created computers to be on all the time. But God never created us to be on all the time. Sometimes you just need some rest. But for some people, they can't find it. They want it. Want a good night's sleep. Want to find a quiet place. They want their mind to shut down. They do want it, but can't get it. And again, it opens the door to these types of thoughts and images. One, you're not alone. Two, God offers hope and help. And this last point, I'll close on this. If you find yourself in this situation, find yourself alone and desperate, feelings that no one cares or understands what you're going through, what you can do and what I encourage you to do is seek support. You're not powerless. You're not hopeless. Told you he's driving the wedge to separate you, to try to convince you that you are that, but you're not. Seek support. Reach out to trusted individuals, whether they be a family member, a friend. As a pastor, those of you that are connected to a church, a faith community, reach out to your religious leaders, whether they be pastors or whoever. So thankful that in our church, for those who serve on our watch care team. Why? So everyone's connected. Everyone's connected. Everyone should know who their watch care person is. Why? Someone you can connect with. Share with. It's your pastor. I'm available. Reach out to your pastor. One of the benefits of being connected to a church and to a community of faith. But in addition to that, seek out help in the form of mental health counselors. I believe my friend could have benefited from the support provided by a mental health counselor. But he never reached out. Never reached out. What a blessing it is to have counselors, social workers in our midst, Shanita and Courtney and others. Alex is there, works in this field. Folks that you can go to professionally, have been trained, been taught, have been licensed. And even if they can't help with your situation specifically, they can refer you to proper counseling because it can make a difference. And you can avoid having days like I had yesterday. Like I said, we're not immune. Because you shout, dance, spin around in a circle, you're not immune from your adversary who's just looking for a little crack in the armor. That's all he wants. So that he can what? Start driving the wedge. Before you know it, the door is open. So I hope something has been shared this morning. Right? So I told you in Ecclesiastes, the job of every preacher is to find acceptable words. Acceptable, not just to you, but for the preacher, they must be acceptable to God. So that's what we have endeavored to do. To find words. Cause you to realize you're not alone. To find words. Cause you to realize that there is help and hope. And to find acceptable words to encourage us to overcome the stigma, specifically within the African American community, of seeking mental health support. Hopefully I found, God has given me acceptable words to encourage you, to help you, to connect you again with God. And if not you, remember these words for when someone reaches out to you because of where they are, because of what they're feeling. And pray to God that in their moment of despair and crisis, that God, through His Spirit, gives you acceptable words. Shall we all stand? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name shall be praised. Your name shall be praised because you care for us. Your name shall be praised because you give us both help and hope. Your name shall be praised because you bring into our lives men and women to whom you give acceptable words. Words that turn back clouds of despair. Words that unlodge the wedge of the enemy. You give acceptable words. It calls men and women that are on the verge, that are on the edge, to reconsider their position before God. And lives that are almost lost to despair, desperation, destruction, self-harm, and suicide. With acceptable words, you turn back the hand, the enemy. You bring words that are life, life-giving, and eternal by nature. And with acceptable words, you cause us to speak those things that are not. By the power of your word, they come to pass. And all of the world stands aghast at what the power of God can do. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name shall be praised. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again.
Amen. 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 One thing I just want to note, everybody can listen, but it's really for the teens. I want you guys to understand this. We've been in this very topic for a month and a half. I did not sit down with your pastor and tell him what I've been teaching, nor did he tell me this is what he's going to be preaching. So remember what we've discussed in class. Also remember this, because as I've told you, teens, this is for you, but it may also be for someone you are going to encounter. And this is God preparing you to talk to them. Amen? Amen. And that's the message for the teen class, because we've been covering this. Amen? Amen. Amen. So before I move to the next part, I've got, as part of the service, if there's anyone who is seeking salvation, be it in the sanctuary or online, the Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that requires what? Confession. You cannot confess unless you believe in who the Lord is and you believe in his superiority, that you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. Why? Because of what the pastor just preached about. He took on everything for us. Amen. Amen. So if you are seeking salvation, if you're in the sanctuary, available right here after service. If you're online, just say, Lord, forgive me, for I acknowledge who you are. You are my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Forgive me for my sins and place me somewhere where I can learn more about you. Amen. Amen. It's just that simple. Once you trust in him and not in your own abilities and you seek after him, you'll find a change. Amen. 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 So with that being said, I've got to go to the next part. And I'm make sure I move this part now, because I got a drum roll and an organist here. It's offering time. Can I get a little... Hey! See, we got a little bit of music this time, right? Amen. Amen. So with offering, we can do it one of five ways. I'm trying to find it on the sheet here. We all know that we can always give here in the sanctuary, right? Amen. So I switched the order. There are baskets right here near the door to head out. You can place your preacher's offering there. You can place your tithes and offerings in the other basket. Those are properly labeled. Now, let me find the cash after the Venmos. Amen? So one of the ways to give is you can text the phone number 73256, and you'll receive instructions. So you can give by getting that text message, 73256. Amen? You can give through our website. You go to TaylorTabernacle.com, and you're looking for TaylorTabernacle/giving, and you can follow the instructions there. You can give by U.S. mail by sending a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You can give by Venmo. That's Venmo at Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, dash Tabernacle, T-A-B-E-R-N-A-C-L-E, dash 6309. Amen? Amen. Now I got to find the page with the pastor stuff on it. Okay. So to give to the pastor, you could give via Cash App or Venmo. For Cash App, it's $ Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N-F-O-R-D, all one thing, right? For Cash App. And for Venmo, it is Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. Amen? Amen. So those are the ways that you could give here and online. With that, I'm going to move out of the way for our Deaconess Helena Weiss. She is going to give us our announcements. Amen?
Amen. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right here on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school is from 8:30 through 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child the second through fifth Sundays. And please remember Pastor Ford's YLE challenge. I have some additional announcements. Tuesday, July 6th. Oh, that's passed. So we're going to cancel that one. July 27th, we will be honoring our Celeste Scholarship recipients this year during our Day of Joy service. This year's essay is, Are You Really a Soldier in the Army of the Lord? God is looking for you to become the commander of one of his army divisions. Those divisions are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. YLE applicants, your assignment is to, 1, select from the list that division you want to lead, 2, explain the purpose and goal of that division, 3, identify the terrain where you want your division to battle. For example, it could be at school, on an athletic team, the playground, music, art, dance team, etc. Create at least three drills for the high school students, 2 drills for middle school and under, for God's soldiers in that division to keep them all spiritually in shape to battle for God on that terrain. A prayer drill would be one obvious example. All completed applications are due Sunday, July 20th at 11:59 p.m. Please submit your application to information at taylortabernacle.com. If you have any questions regarding the Celeste application, you can please see Deacon Todd, you can see myself, or Deaconess Kim. May God's grace be with you. We will be handing out that topic today, if you haven't received it, immediately after service. Our next announcement is Turning the Tide Garden. The garden is now open every Sunday morning following service. Please volunteer some time to help our gardeners, Lynn and Dave, with harvesting, weighing, and preparing produce for distribution every Sunday. In addition, this means fresh produce is available every Sunday for you to take home and use in your meal planning for the week. And it's all free. Thank you in advance for your help. That includes our announcements. Now we're going to have our benediction.
Amen. So we're ready for our benediction. If our pastor's not coming out, I got to bring up our first lady. Okay. Well, he's coming out anyway.
Okay.
I got to make sure one of you's up here.
Shall we all stand? One announcement that I guess didn't make the cut, and it's my fault because of the week I had, but for all of the men, we're marking our calendars Friday, July 25th. We got a little time. Friday, July 25th. It's when we're coming together for men's fellowship. It'll be a Friday evening. It'll be 7 to 9. We're going to meet here. Dinner's going to be provided. But it's time for us to come together as men, young men, all of our teenage boys. I heard you admonishing them. All of our teenage boys, we're all coming together. It's for our time of fellowship. So, again, we'll get that out in the announcements. Like I said, Brother Tyrone gave it to me, but this week I just didn't get it until all the announcements. But know that Friday, July 25th, 7 to 9, we're going to meet right here at the church. It's going to be our time of fellowship and sharing. We're going to eat together, share together, pray together. It'll be our time. So I'm looking forward. I'm really looking for 100% attendance. I want all of our men to be here. We don't get the opportunity to come together often as men. And so we want to take full advantage of it. So thank you for that. So we look to heaven. Lord, we thank you for this. Another Lord's Sunday. We thank you for your faithfulness in meeting us here. Like the psalmist, we were glad when they said it to us, let us go to the house of the Lord. Glad to be in this place, glad to be in your presence. But now as we depart, go our various ways to our various homes. While we leave this place, cause us not to leave your presence. Allow something of your spirit to go with us. So that wherever we go, whatever we do, we know that we're not alone. Because we can feel the presence of God in us and with us. This is our prayer. We humbly ask it in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Taylor.